The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball. Will we recall what we were talking about this time last week, Ger? A paddling.
Oh yeah, I was totally wrong.
A paddling.
I've never been happier to be wrong about something in my life. Anna, yeah. I feel I have a lot of Cork friends. I've been accused of being egregious by my co-host, Colin Buick, who said I would complain except you were the person in the organisation who I would have to complain to. So
brilliant. That's the power. Yes.
There you go.
Wield that stop. Power.
I mean, you've never seen anything like it. It was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I can't stop talking about it.
Like, that's it's not, a sign though, isn't it? Like just, a week on almost. Yeah.
I'm literally reading everything I can get my hands on. And it's not just because I work with a Corkman, but who was terrified that something like this might happen. And then when it does happen, it's like, wow. You kind of felt in your waters that something.
I didn't think this was going to happen. Like when I predicted Tip would win, it was kind of an outside bet, really. I was pushing
I was manifesting.
Well, yeah. I was manifesting. I wanted Tip to win. And
did you though? Because last week you didn't say that, did you?
No, I wanted Tip to win.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can tell. You know, sometimes when you claim you're neutral in a match, and then you find yourself punching the air when one team scores, and you realize, oh, actually, I'm not neutral at all.
Yeah. That was a voluntary response.
But I thought if they were winning, it would be like the classic, as everyone else thought. It'd be close at the end,
and
they'd kind of be, oh my God. We have a sudden sense of belief and we just get over the line. There's no way I would have predicted. No, Cork will absolutely collapse and have a psychological meltdown at halftime.
But when that happened, right, you do wonder how that doesn't actually happen more often. Or it probably does, but not maybe to that level. It's like, you think about all the time they have to go, like more in rugby, I suppose, is the one that I watch more. Like what can you say in that room that can turn things around? Like a Hollywood movie.
I don't know. I mean, I think it turns out teams bottle things all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's only retrospectively you go, okay, that was actually an example of that. This was just such a large example where they were so heavily favourite. Everything basically went right in for them up to the point where everything stopped. And it was so slow motion. Like the goalkeeper scores, he saves a penalty. It's outrageous. Like there's 15 outrageous things happen.
Great.
I could talk about it for hours.
Bloody great. Anyway, we will kick things off with sport. Because the Lionesses, or one of the Lionesses, is your winner of the week.
I know,
is that right, Alison?
Really, can you pronounce her name properly for me, Jer, please?
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay,
here.
Michelle Agyemang. What did you say?
Go on.
Agyemang?
Yeah, why
it's
not?
It's like it's not a hard G. Anyway, she's awesome. Not that I'm actually supporting.
She's so awesome that I haven't bothered to learn her surname.
No, I'm just saying, always
yeah, Michelle. We'll just call her Michelle.
Insult.
Michelle Lioness.
I'm not supporting England, by the way, in the Euros, by the way.
Well, apparently some of you are.
Yeah. Are you?
I read in the radio review this morning that you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, we did a full. We did several items.
Claire's gone off to read it there now.
Several items on one day this week after the Lionesses game.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is it apparently? Does it feel like it's okay to support the Lionesses more than the Lions?
I mean, but there's always that talk in
Joe O'Shea made the point that there was fewer Lionesses in the Black and Tans.
But there's always that talk of like
legitimate.
Can't support any like you know can't support the Brits in anything. But like obviously I have a Premier League team that I love. Do you know what I mean? Like there's always that going on.
Oh, look at you pointing out our contradictions.
Sorry. But Michelle is, do you know her?
Coming over here, pointing out her hypocrisies.
Canadian. Do you know her backstory? Do you know her
backstory? No.
That's why I
don't support
her.
Them that much.
Yeah, okay. She's only 19. Do you know much about her, Jared?
Just like the Wikipedia entry.
Okay. And she was a ball girl in the World Cup like 4 years ago. And she's like, I dream of, you know, being on this stage. And they keep bringing her out when they really need to. Which was against, obviously, Italy. They really need to bring her out. And so she's got three goals and four caps and always an equaliser, like the ones that matter, those goals that matter.
Yeah.
She always does that. And her story is just, I think, really interesting. Like, she's like a big musician. Like, she has a piano and that's what she does all day long. Like, she kind of sits there, plays the piano. And she's just really, really enthusiastic and grateful to be there. And I think she's just a really good role model for, you know, children our ages that are looking up. And in fact, I did actually, when it went into extra time that match, I was like, Joan, just come downstairs. And my daughter, because she plays soccer, and I'm like, just watch it for a while. And then obviously the Spain-Italy game was arguably more exciting in many ways. So it's great for, maybe the Euro should be my winner. Sorry, because I can pronounce that. I can pronounce that.
Yeah.
But it was just, I loved her backstory. And it just, the camera was on her so much during that. I was like, I've got to find out more about her. And like, why is the focus on her so much? And like, she came out, she had 5 minutes to get England into a safe zone. She just did it. So
the viewing figures were huge for that England
and
match.
Full stadium relatively. As well. That's what I noticed. Massive. Not an empty seat.
Everybody compares women's sport with men's sport, which is totally ridiculous. You need to compare it with men's sport 150 years ago. Like, it has largely been suppressed by the powers that be and men's sport for about a century. And now they've stopped doing that. And like, oh, people are interested in this because they like things. People like things.
I think the viewing figures on RT were over 280,000 at peak, you know, and then other people would watch it on ITV, which in the end of July, you know, for a sporting event that has absolutely no Irish involvement, you know, was pretty massive.
Yeah. So no, she's my winner.
But you're cheering for Spain in the final.
Is that terrible? I couldn't even name one Spanish
player. She's my winner of the week, but I hope she's like, she goes home in tears at the end of the weekend.
It'll be
cry on your
anyway.
Piano, Michelle.
It'll be exciting anyway. It'll be exciting.
I think we hate the England men's team because their fans rampage across Europe, pretending singing two World Wars and one World Cup.
I
quite like most of their players and most of their managers over the time you could have been interested in. And I mean, it is now getting to the stage where the longer their drought and famine goes on, the more interesting it is.
Yes.
So now I don't want them to win just for that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So Michelle with the piano is our winner of the week. Who's your winner of the week?
Well, so I need some advice about this. Are we allowed to talk about Trump in this slot or not? Because I picture people listening to this
slot. Well,
how
much do you talk about him?
On the show? Yeah, like not. We don't overdo it. Mm-hmm. You know, we learned our lesson from 2016. You can't just talk about
every time
he opens his mouth, you don't have to report it.
So, people on a Friday night, they're going somewhere fun in the wintertime. You're finishing up the last bit of homework with the kids at the table. No one wants to listen to us. We're here to entertain, right?
Well, it depends the context you're talking about, Trump.
Well, this week I was reminded, you all watched Succession, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in season one, the brother, who is the farmer from Babe, that'll do, he comes and lectures Logan Roy about how
it's
evil...
It's pretty powerful scene.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So he talks about climate change and he talks about being the carnival barker for all the wars we didn't need. I don't watch any of your TV stations because they're rubbish. They poisoned the well of... And I was like, that's kind of how I feel about Rupert Murdoch. It was like, obviously, it was a facsimile of some other billionaires, but mostly it was Rupert and his son, and that was the relationship between Kendall and Logan. So this week I'm going to put Rupert Murdoch in as my winner of the week because... The Wall Street Journal printing two separate stories about the Epstein files. The first one is this porny Christmas card.
Birthday card.
So who knew he was like an illustrator as well, as a world leader?
Yeah, I know.
It turned out
multi-talented.
He had done three doodles in 2017. He's like, I'd never drawn a card in my life. And like, you sold three at auction in 2017. He's like, oh, balls, forgot about that. And then they doubled down and there was the other story about how DOJ knew in May that Trump's name appears in some files associated with the case. Should say a $10 billion lawsuit has been filed by Trump against Rupert Murdoch. But there's very few people in the world who are going to go, all right, sue me.
Because,
I mean, I'll probably be dead by the time this finishes anyway. He's 94 at this stage. So notwithstanding
the fact... But all his young wives keep him young, so it's fine.
Yeah, I wonder what what he's sucking out of what marrow he's getting from other people to keep him alive at this stage.
So your winner is Rupert Murdoch this week.
I know.
For standing up to the tyranny of Donald Trump. Is that right?
In the style of my slum landlord shout a few weeks ago.
Okay.
It's of a piece with that, you know.
And are you, so have you found, is this one of those stories, say the Trump stories, when I said at the 2016 example, the one of the lessons is you just like, when he opens his mouth, ignore him a lot of the time. Try and differentiate the signal from the noise. Is this one of those stories that breaks through? Is this a signal?
I think because Rupert Murdoch is involved. And I think So like, in the meantime, Fox News is doing nothing. So he obviously owns them as well. And
Fox News yesterday, so I was listening to this. So the, you know, the tirade he went on with the Philippine Prime Minister beside him, Marcos, and he went on about how, you know, Obama's a traitor and he should be arrested for treason and all of this sort of stuff. Fox News had their entire homepage was just stories related to Obama, like all the way back to like birth cert stuff and no mention of Epstein.
They're still talking about
it. Just moved. It just, you know, as soon as, because all they want is just an excuse. They needed something. Mm-hmm. Because then if the only oxygen in the room is Epstein, you got to just talk about it for Fox.
Yeah.
But suddenly there was something else. I'd say they were like, yes, get rid of that.
But weren't they saying that the fact that he even admitted or let the story run that he has ill health was like such a big deal because like obviously that didn't quash the other stuff we're talking about. But they're like, for him to even get that out there was like a big deal to admit that he's not like a robot or he's not super fit.
Yeah. But he, it's all of his own making. That's the other thing.
Did you see South Park?
Yeah, I did.
Only in the last 15 minutes when I was Googling. I didn't realize. So
it's brilliant.
That should be my winner.
He's lying in bed naked alongside Satan.
I love that Satan. You remind me of a guy I used to date. For people who didn't watch it, that's Saddam.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, another interesting winner of the week after Slum Landlords.
There you go.
Rupert Murdoch this week. Alison, who is your sinner of the week?
BBC Radio 1.
Oh.
So, did you talk about this story?
No, by the time we came on air, they had kind of said,
wrong.
It was Sony's fault, not ours.
Yeah.
Is it Sony?
AWOL. So is the record label that she's on. So yeah, so the story is that C-Matt has a new song out. The video is amazing. Do you know, have you heard the song?
I haven't heard the new song yet, no.
So it's basically, it's called Euro Country and it's basically a common, you know, comments on what life was like in Ireland under Bertie, basically, which wasn't great in some ways. So, yeah. So,
well, it was great for a few years.
Yeah, it's great for a few years.
We all partied.
Yeah, exactly.
All the models were wearing nothing on the top of Grafton Street. That's Kelty Tyre. So it's 45 seconds of the first song is basically, it's all in Irish. And so Radio 1 cut that. So C-Matt did a story on Instagram saying, I'm not sure what happened there. She wasn't irate or anything, but she was like, look, it was obviously, it's part of the song. Why wasn't it included in what was supposed to be the first broadcast? Then BBC came back and said that they were given that radio edit and that's what they went with. And then they kind of said, but we actually have already played it two more times before this time. So we're in the clear. We're okay, right? So it wasn't the debut. But anyway, they promised to replay it now. And
with the full version.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, which is 45 seconds spoken Irish language at the beginning. And yeah, the record label AWOL hasn't made any statements.
Yeah, so they haven't explained someone edited it out.
Yeah, but they're probably just sitting back going, well, it's like a really talked about show. It's made it to the hard shoulder story. It's made it to the hard shoulder. Let's not worry about it.
Yeah.
Let her get her radio plays and do really well.
Yeah. So you think that this was tactical to get attention?
Possibly.
Or as opposed to just, you know,
no, I think
Brits being spooked by Irish.
Yeah, but what is this? What's this jibber-jabber stuff? Let's get rid of it.
It's both, though. It's Tans at it again and also brilliant marketing.
Yeah,
like,
hey, exactly.
Yeah, it is.
Two things can be true at once.
Yeah, but it reminded me a little of, you know, not so much kneecap, but remember a few years ago there was that great story, not great, I'd say, but it was kind of mental, about that great headstone that some parish council in the UK wouldn't allow a few words of Irish in it. And all it was like kind of Machree or something like this. And they said no because of the relationship between the language and terrorism.
Oh, wow.
Was their attitude.
I don't remember that story.
Yeah.
Scratch.
So that's the prevailing attitude in the UK that is, you know,
scary.
That it's a kind of, this language is, I know, it's born like, of like the H block or something experience, you know, they're only speaking that because it's code, you know, so they can speak in code. Yeah, exactly. They could be talking about where they're putting the bomb type thing.
Yeah. Anyway, the song is excellent. The video is great as well. And we love C-Matt.
Did you listen to the song with the Irish bit in front of it?
When I first heard it, yeah.
So can you, like, devil's advocate, could you see how someone in a record company might go, you know what, like, we need radio edits have to be kind of punchier and...
Yeah, like, I mean, all
you
the
could
songs
see how they go, like, get rid of that bit.
I play now, like, apparently are 2 minutes and 35 seconds, even though they absolutely weren't that when I got them when they came out first. So I could see someone, like, doing the whole shaving, linking kind of thing, but it's part of the song. You need to play it.
All right. Jer, who is your sinner of the week?
Well, I maybe need your help to decide exactly who is the sinner in this instance.
Jer's outsourcing his production.
I know,
here.
It's good, isn't it? So
Is this the power you wield in off the ball that Cullum is so afraid of?
It might be. Oh, you touched a nerve there. We were on holidays in Italy recently in Pisa. It was an Airbnb. The youngest comes out of the bathroom and goes, there's a second urinal in there. There's another toilet. And we're like, oh no, that's a bidet. And we explained to him what it was. And I thought he was going to have a stroke. He was laughing so much. It was such an alien concept that you would clean your butt.
With a jet of water.
It got me a little bit kind of like, oh, maybe we're the stinky ones and the rest of Europe are wandering around going, look at the stinky Irish. And then there's that ad on the TV, which is the second wave of the new, you know, deodorize your bits campaign that was like clearly designed to get everybody talking about it. So there's I don't know if you've seen the ads, right? But they mentioned balls and boobs in the first one. But the second set of ads is like, a man walks down the cinema aisle and a woman follows him sniffing his ass the whole way down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
All right. So,
like a dog.
Exactly like a dog.
Kieran's Googling it right now.
Exactly like a dog. And I was just like, maybe we don't need the chemical sprays on our bits. Maybe we just need bidets.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't need the...
Maybe we don't need either, though. Sorry, in the window between the disappearance of bidets from Irish bathrooms and these things
did
coming out, were we all walking around going, oh, what's that smell?
Were they?
The 80s, they were de rigueur. You couldn't have
but
new
post
80s,
and until this product came on the shelves a few months ago.
We were grand.
Well, were you walking around like kind of going, God, what's that smell?
The rest of Europe were coming over going,
oh my God, what's the smell in Ireland?
It wasn't the dairy. It wasn't sour dairy. It was our butts.
So one of our mutual daughter's friends, they moved into a new house and they're very excited, Italian family. And first thing she's like, look, first thing she shows me, brings me in going, look, I'm like, oh, it's a bidet. And she's like, I've wanted this forever. I've got it now in my house.
Did you have them in Canada? Were they?
Not really.
They weren't popular.
So.
No, you had one growing up. Did you?
Oh,
a bidet?
No, yeah.
Everyone had a bidet growing up.
I'm gonna
and
honest,
did you use it
concept.
For washing your feet more than anything?
Oh, if ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Sorry, but that's what it was used for in our house.
People are eating dinner right now.
Yeah, but some people get their kicks. I get messages all the time from some fella asking to see pictures of my feet.
You do?
The time.
Well, that's how you know you're famous.
Yeah.
I've never been asked.
Do you know a tenner a pop I get for them?
I was going to say, onlyfans.com/.
Anyway.
I don't like the concept of them, to be kind of crude about it. I don't.
You also don't like clean butts?
No, like you, but there are ways of doing it without.
Okay, we have to, right. Okay, so for people who are eating their dinner, maybe just tune out for a minute, because let's just talk about this. Like, so toilet paper is a weird concept because it's dry. It should be wet.
Yeah.
You know, it should, like, I know, right, wet wipes in the toilet's a terrible thing and all of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But if you forget, set that aside, the idea that you just use a kind of a sheet of dry paper to smear the dirt around to such a thin layer that it's no longer detectable on the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Is kind of manky.
I really think we should probably not be talking about this.
It lacks science, really, when you think about it.
It does. It's awful. You know, it's awful.
Counter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but put it this way. When you go to the toilet, what do you do after you go to the toilet? When you're finished, buttoned up, you flush. What do you do?
Finish Wordle. Wash my hands.
Finish Wordle. Very good. I like that. But you wash your hands.
Yes.
You don't get some tissue and just wipe your hands with dry tissue.
I know, but I'm
yet you've done that with your backside.
I know, but your clothes, I don't know. Like, I'm not asking
so if it was winter,
my butt.
But it was winter and you had gloves on, you wouldn't do it either, even though your hands are covered.
You're right.
In the exact same scenario, you accept the logic of having to use soap and water on your hands.
I really didn't expect this conversation
yet the place where the stuff actually comes out of, which is much more ground zero than your hands, you just think a sheet of dry paper will do.
I've honestly never given it that thought. Now I will.
Yeah.
Japan obviously have the correct answer where it's all in one. You press a button, you don't move,
and
you
sound
come
effects
up and you're done.
For people who are shy in the bathroom, like
to cover over stuff.
That's what I would get instead of a bidet, one that has like the natural forest sound or the wave, so nobody can hear you doing your business. That's
oh, really?
Okay.
They should have a button then when you know there's a loud bit coming to you, like,
they already have that.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. So bring back the bidet. Bring back the bidet.
So who's the sinner in this? Is it the deodorant company? Is it us for not using the bidets?
The deodorant company just want us to buy more of their products.
There are so many products out there that are actually really badly directed at young girls about hygiene that are actually harmful. So I think they're the sinners.
Yeah, I think they're sinners, the company.
Big deodorant.
They're trying to make us feel bad.
And bad.
Yeah.
But like, you shouldn't be covering up smells. You should be getting rid of the...
Look, I feel badly enough about myself. I don't need you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, bring back the bidet. Ditch the deodorant is our campaign. It starts here. We will be back after this quick break.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Alison and Ger are both still with me for the last bit of the show. How's your step count today, Alison?
It's not bad. It was really, really good yesterday. I was at Emerald Park with 7
How
teenagers.
Was Emerald Park like?
It's great. But
never been.
I was on my own for the first time as an event with organizing other people's children and my own. I did get really bored of myself, I've got to be honest. So I just walked and walked and walked. So it was really good yesterday. It was about 14,000. But since my sweet little dog has passed, it's dropped to nothing, like literally nothing. But I shouldn't be so worried because apparently the unofficial count of 10,000 is there's not a huge amount of science behind it. There is some, obviously. But a new study has come out to say 7,000 is sufficient and it puts us under less pressure and you still get the same health benefits like reduced risk of cardiovascular, depression, and dementia as well. So 7,000, if that's all you're averaging, you're doing okay.
When the dog was when you were hitting those step counts, was that just... Were you conscious of it or was it just a kind of side product of walking the dog?
It was just, because she was a young collie. So it was about 2.5 hours a day. So you definitely, I was up well over 11.
I guess the last one was, were you always a step counter?
No, not really. I don't think. And then I was like, this is awesome. And then after she passed away, there'd be days where I'm 838 steps. I'm sure I've taken more than that.
838?
I'm sure I took more than that.
Did you just roll around the house?
I just roll around. But it's on my phone, so you're not walking with your phone.
Roll out to the kitchen. Roll back in.
I'm going to see if I can get zero. But I don't have anything on my wrist or anything, which is accurate. It's just my phone. So if you don't have your phone, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
So it still wasn't that high, though. So, yeah.
Are you a step counter, Ger?
Not really. I have a whoop, so that counts your strain. And that's the thing. You've got
What's
a
it called?
Strain. A whoop.
Oh. Does it do, I can't have anything that measures heart because I'll just watch it and I'll go up and up and up.
No, but you can't watch it. That's the big con of the whoop.
Well, it's actually the best part about it is that there's nothing on it. It's just a badge.
It's just you're wearing a bracelet.
So does it report to something else, like an app?
It reports to an app, yeah. So then you can leave your app away and you're not bound to it.
Is it like, I'm trying to tell you you're having a heart attack, but you can't
see
it?
But if you leave your app away, how do you know what time it is? Because you can't wear a watch. You can't be a two-strap, you know what?
Oh, my laptop, and there's clocks everywhere.
walking around the woods with your laptop.
Yes, yes. As in clearly a walking around the woods fella.
Do you measure everything? Your steps and stuff that?
No,
heart?
No, okay. I have a Swatch watch.
It doesn't
do anything. No, I've retreated from that world. I was in it. I used to measure things.
Why? What?
Because the only consequence of me measuring things was that I knew it was just information. But I didn't act on
change
any of the information.
Change your behavior.
It didn't change my behavior. It didn't make me feel better. I didn't realize, I've got to do less of this or more of this. I was just being bombarded with information about my heart rate at different times a day. And with the whoop, my strain was here. My recovery was here. And I realized I was getting up in the morning and then I would wait for the whoop to tell me if I was tired or not. I've spent my entire life knowing if I'm tired or not. Now I'm relying on this piece of technology to do it. I know you outsource stuff. We acknowledged that a minute ago.
I found that the exact opposite. I actually would wake up feeling, I didn't sleep that well. And my whoop would be like, shut up, you're grand. And I'd be like, okay.
I literally have never heard of a whoop. There you go.
Yeah.
You're a good target market then for them.
Yeah. They'll turn up on my Instagram ads now.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Straight away.
They're listening. They are listening. Yeah, no, so I've retreated from it all, yeah. Even running and everything now,
you don't measure?
Monitor.
No, I run naked, as they say.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Sometimes literally.
Further to our bit about the B-days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, Kilkenny knows. Oh, God, he's at it again. Anyway, I've retreated from all that. So gossip is the last thing you want to mention, though.
Yeah, WhatsApp gossip. Cork Hurler is the latest to get the treatment. There's been wild rumours circulating in WhatsApp groups. And
I haven't heard any of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, halftime bust-ups, that kind of stuff.
Oh.
And it's being referenced in the papers today, so you kind of feel like it's everybody has seen them at this point.
And what's the, without wanting to spread rumours, if they're in the paper, the bust-up between management and players or between players and players?
It was a tripartite Father, Son and Holy Ghost situation.
Oh, was it?
A little bit, yeah. So player on player, players on management. And then it's an easy story to craft because obviously things fall apart.
And you need an explanation.
Individuals from rival clubs don't play well. The six mentors on the sideline pictured in Conflab, and nothing changes as a result of the conversation.
That was awful, yeah.
They closed down the homecoming, so there was no public appearance. They've been no media since.
Is that the first time that's ever been done?
I think other teams haven't had homecomings before, but generally there'd be something. I think they should have gone through with it.
Yeah.
I don't mind that they didn't. I don't think it's that big a deal.
They're for the supporters.
But it does fill a vacuum where everybody's like, well, why can't we see you? What's happened? Are people not talking to each other? Did you not all arrive back together? And so those rumours have all started.
It's like our school WhatsApp group back in the day is all like that.
There wasn't WhatsApp in your school back in the day.
No, ours, when we had kids. Well, you still have kids in younger school.
So is your issue then, are we back where we started? We're talking about Cork hurlers, or just our insatiable need for gossip in general?
I think that's it. We are a nation of degenerate gossips. And we love it.
With stinky bums.
We do, and everybody, exactly. Stinky bum, degenerate gossip.
Well, as the only person in this room then who has a keen sense of two different cultures, or the keenest sense, Alison.
Yeah.
Are your Canadians as mad for gossip?
Possibly, yeah. But when I first moved here, the one thing that kept being said to me, it was like, we're a nation of begrudgers. And I was like, what's that mean? And you quickly learn what that means. Actually, I'm pretty sure I know what it means now.
And do you think we are?
I don't think we are as much, but I mean, yeah. Like everyone says, I'm not tooting my own horn, but like at work, everyone's like, oh, it's like, you know, the ladder up, like you're pulling people up with you and mentoring people. And everyone's like, oh, you're so good to be doing that. I was like, shouldn't we all kind of be doing that? Whereas when I do think about early days, it might not have always been the case. So yeah. But everyone said it to me a lot when I got here. Like, you'll get used to it. We're a nation of begrudgers.
The context you hear that in reference to most is you too, I find. When people give out about Bono or something, it's always, well, sure, we're a nation of begrudgers.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not allowed just not like...
Like the music.
Yeah, not like the music. Like if you mention,
which is crazy,
you know,
if you don't.
Oh, well, that's a begrudgery. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the neighbour gets something nice. You're peeking over the fence going, I want that.
Yeah. So we're as gossipy though as everywhere else.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And like there's been studies proving human that nature, gossip can be healthy too, right?
Not Irish nature, human nature.
Okay. I'll accept that we're part of it. We're plugged into the world. We're citizens of the world.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And poor Cork.
Spoken like Gray McDowell, citizen of the world. I always think of. Anyway, that's begrudgery though on my part. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball. Thank you both very much. Off The Ball is up next. I'll be back on Monday from 4.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.